Welcome to the Young and the Restless Recap. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Amanda.
And this is the second half of our 74th podcast. We did some last week and Amanda got cut off, and so now we're wrapping it up again.
That's right.
74 part 2.
Right.
Okay. Let's get into it. Can we talk about Neil? I've been dying to talk about Neil for an entire week.
Yeah. Let's talk about Neil and how he's an ass, and his acting has reminded me of when he was blind.
Totally. Yeah. It's over the top.
Wait, okay, you really do only have one facial expression. Awesome.
I feel like he can only go between a couple types of acting, too.
Right, yeah.
There's no subtlety.
And his... No, no subtlety, and his I'm picking you up is the same as I'm going to kill you tone.
Yeah, that's true. So, we didn't even talk about how Hillary has gone missing. That's where we got cut off last time.
Right. Yeah, they were on their honeymoon in the British Virgin Islands. Uh-huh. And then what happened?
Devon got, seasick or something. I don't know. He got sick. I can't remember what it was. On a catamaran. Who knows? Anyway, they had, some special hike, some jungle hike or cliff hike or something that they were going to go on, but he just didn't feel well enough, and he kept telling her, no, you go, and I'll stay here and kind of feel better. And she was like, okay, I'll go on the hike.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting because he still had enough mental and physical fortitude to have sex over and over again, but he couldn't go on a hike.
Well, that's standing up.
Yeah, I guess so.
You didn't want to have to stand up.
So she goes on the hike, and then, and he even had somebody from, the front desk bring him up some ginger or, some sort of, medication.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Hillary goes on the hike and is confronted by Neil. And he has his phone with him, and he's like, I got something for you to see. You need to see this. And she's like, why are you here? If you really wanted to show me something, you could have done it before I got married or even in Genoa City. And I don't know. He kind of played his Neil game, and she saw right through it. And she took his phone, and she tossed it. And he got kind of pissed off, and I don't know. They didn't exactly tussle. But she got mad at him and sort of, brushed past him. And as he's kind of standing there on the trail, he hears, her scream, ah! Off the cliff. and so she doesn't come back to Devon.
Right.
And for, I don't know, it seemed like a week or 2 weeks, we were like, what happened to Hillary? Is she dead?
Right, yeah.
Is she missing? Yeah. And meanwhile, Devon is freaking out, and everybody instantly thinks he did it. He killed her. There's no body, but he killed her.
Right.
And he's beside himself.
Well, that's kind of, it does look like he did it.
Yeah, I guess so, but on the other hand, there's no body.
Right, and we know that until you see the body, they're not really dead, but even still,
I guess.
He could have been pretending to be sick, and then he snuck out the back door, and,
Yeah, left
a
definitely
of himself, and,
his alibi
killed his
totally
wife
weak.
And snuck back.
Yeah, for sure.
But we know he didn't do that, because he loves her.
Well, yeah. So then they found her bloody shoe, and it was
gross.
And then, Lily comes down there, Kane comes down there, they get Michael as his lawyer.
Who is watching their children?
The magical nanny that's always watching their kids.
Right, okay.
And,
Nanny McPhee is on it.
Yes. And Devon's really upset. He's wanting to know where Hillary is and...
Oh, well, sure. Yeah.
And he's pissed off that everybody is sort of like, well, come on, Devon. Where were you? Were you really sick? And even Kane and Lily are kind of giving him that look like, really? Where'd she go? She just disappeared? And then Neil rushes in, oh, I'm so worried about you. Are you okay?
And I just
we're going to find her. And he seems overly concerned, but we all know that he's, you know, involved somehow.
But he's it. Yeah.
And Devon finally gets back to Genoa City. Like, they allow him to go back, but it's not looking good. Then it sounds like they're going to extradite him back to the British Virgin Islands. But then, meanwhile, we see Hillary in a bed with an IV, and she's in a coma. And mm-hmm. Neil walks in by her side. So now we know Neil took her.
Right.
And then Kane goes back to the British Virgin Islands. And is really trying to dig into the story. You know, he's had so many different types of jobs, and now he's a detective. And
right,
so
sure.
He finds a witness who didn't come forward in the beginning because they didn't think what they saw was that big of a deal. But then this witness says he saw a man matching Devon's description carry what he thought was an unconscious woman, like, away from the same spot. So we know it's Neil, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And everybody's kind of grilling that guy. Like, why didn't you say anything?
How can you mistake Devon for Neil?
Exactly. So then they
Neil's got like 6 inches on Devon.
Yes. And so...
And 60 years.
And he even said, like, it was kind of far away. I think that was her. I'm pretty sure it was her, but it was the same area. I wasn't even thinking about it. I just assumed she was drunk. And in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, you saw this guy carrying an unconscious, like, drunk woman through the forest or the jungle. Like, to me, that's cause
for concern. Okay, he's on it.
But, so then Devon's like, I'm going to confront the witnesses. And everybody's like, no, 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 no. But, you know, Devon does. And Devon says, was that guy me? Was that me? For real? And the witness is like, well, he was taller. I think he had different facial hair. But he's like, but honestly, I don't know. I think it was you.
Wow, all you black guys look the same?
Yeah.
Is that his
I mean, the witness was black, too. But, well, he was Caribbean. So.
Okay.
But, yeah, I think the point was that he was from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, yeah, I think it's you, whatever.
Too far away to see, and perspective was screwed up. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Michael, he's a big-time lawyer, and he's like,
right,
oh, I can see all sorts of holes in this story. So, anyway, now, it keeps kind of going back to Neil now. Neil has officially, he's taken Hillary to the boathouse. Their, you know, remember their dream house?
Right.
That he got electrocuted in and lost his vision.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where he's keeping her. Did you see where she woke up?
No, I did not.
Just for, like, maybe a minute, where he, I think he was, like, busy on a date with Gwen, Neil was.
Yeah.
And Hillary woke up and kind of looked around and was like, where the hell am I? What happened? This is my dream house. And then she passes back out and she hasn't woken up since.
All right.
And we've seen a lot of Neil, like, hovering over her, like, Hillary, you gotta wake up, you gotta wake up, and you gotta tell everybody I'm not a horrible person.
Right. Even though you kind of are.
Yeah, I don't understand where he's going with that. It seems to me that if she died, things might just be a little bit easier for him.
Well, he had said in the last day or two when he was hovering over her and was feeling, you know, remorse for what he had done, I guess. He had said, you know, it's funny, there was a time when all I wanted was to destroy you and to destroy Devon because of what you did to me. But now I think I'm falling in love with Gwen and she's falling in love with me. And so I can't be awful to you anymore because, you know, circumstances worked out in our favor, some such crapola.
Okay. Yes, it's kind of weird because then in the meantime, he and Gwen have been taking it to the next level. It just seems like sort of an inappropriate time to be dating and cavorting around with a new woman while you've got another one sort of locked up, right? I mean, it's not, we don't quite have a Jane Eyre situation here, but we do have somebody locked in the attic.
Right. Yeah. And I wonder what was Neil's original plan? Was he just waiting for her to wake up? And if so, why not take her to, oh, I don't know, an actual hospital?
Yeah, I kind of wondered the same thing. At first I thought, well, is he going to do like a Kelly Jack thing? Is he going to brainwash her and kind of talking to her ear, like, you love Neil, you love Neil, you love Neil.
Yeah, right.
But then he's out on dates with Gwen, and they're, like, sleeping together in the athletic club.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But, so then we also met Gwen's sister. Did you catch her name?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. She has the potential to be a new cute character if they keep her around.
Yeah.
She's a doctor. Is that right?
Right. Yeah.
At the hospital?
Which is definitely what this show needs.
Another doctor?
Another doctor.
She probably has some sort of marketing degree under her belt as well, so she can pop over. Oh,
she used to be a business major.
Yeah. Yeah. So Gwen introduces Neil to his sister, or to her sister, the nameless mm-hmm. sister, and Neil steals her key card, her hospital key card. And then he's been sneaking into the same medical supply closet over and over again to steal IVs. What is he stealing?
Well, yeah, I think he's probably stealing, you know, saline and
just like basic
whatever drug he's putting into the saline to keep her Gwen unconscious if he is doing that.
Okay.
I mean, we haven't seen him inject her with anything. So, you know, if he was, we probably would have seen it, but.
All right, this is a really dumb question. But, like, if I wanted to go out, if I needed some saline, couldn't I go to, like, a mm-hmm. medical supply store or something? Or no?
You know, I think you have to have some kind of credentials to get medical equipment.
Or maybe he doesn't want a record. That needs
to be administered with an IV.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. I mean, I just feel like
there's that level of complexity. I don't think you can just go to the saline store and say, I need a gross.
But it's Genoa City. They have a DNA store.
Yeah. It's probably in the pharmacy store. Right next to the DNA tests and condoms.
Okay. Well, I think also the whole thing to me is just like, when is Hillary's arm going to rot off because Neil doesn't know how to give an IV correctly? Or, I don't know, there's so many things that are wrong that he's keeping her in a hospital bed.
The fact that they have her kind of in a canopy bed, so it doesn't necessarily have to be the person who plays Hillary. It could be just some random black extra.
Yeah.
Okay. Your job for today, lay there and don't move.
Yeah, totally.
You'll get your 20 in your craft service card at the end of the day.
I don't know quite where this is going. Anyway, so Devon and Gwen, not Devon and Gwen, Neil and Gwen are getting pretty close or whatever. But the sister knows that her key card has been stolen and she gets a talking to at the hospital. Like, you irresponsible.
Yeah.
Whatever. Sure. And she's like, no, seriously, somebody took this. I didn't just leave it laying around. And I think they confront Neil at some point. Like, they saw him in the closet, and he was like, oh, I was confused. My bad. and they kind of buy his story, but Gwen is suspicious, and she thinks that he's, like, maybe stealing medication for himself. Like, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, because he's an addict.
Yeah. And so at some point, she follows him. And she sees him mm-hmm. go to the hospital for, like, 10 minutes, because he said he had an appointment or something. But he's only there for 10 minutes, and then he rushes out. And she continues to follow him, and it's to the lake house. And then she calls Devon, tells Devon, hey, I followed your dad, and I'm really concerned. Like, I think she thinks that he's going on these benders, maybe?
Yeah, that he's going to the lake house to shoot up whatever it is he got from the hospital. Because he's too stupid to just take the bottle of oxycodone and be done with it.
Yeah. And so Devon and Gwen confront Neil at the house. And Neil is just mean to Gwen. Yeah. He tells her...
Well, he's a cop.
Yeah, totally. But he was basically like, we're over. We're done. I don't want to see you mm-hmm. again. And she's like, seriously? Oh, my God. He's like, you invaded my privacy. You followed me. And,
but it was for your own good.
Yeah, I think they both
because
leave.
I love you. And
did he ever make it up to Gwen? Did he ever apologize later or like bring her back in?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Yeah, he did. He had had a talk with Lily and Lily said, you know, you two seem like you're getting really close. And he's like, yeah, I think I love her and I think she loves me. And Lily's all, well, you have to make it right then. So
how did he make it right after being such a jerk like that?
Well, he batted his big brown eyes, and she totally melted and fell for it because she's dumb.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I lost a lot of respect for the Gwen character when she just was like, "Oh, really? You're sorry? Okay. You know, no problem."
I feel like poor Gwen, who first got set up with Devon and thought he was gay. And then no, yeah. And then now she's with Neil. Like, just stay away from the Winters family. It's
yeah.
bad.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. Wait until Neil falls in love with her sister.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Does she know that's next?
Where. Oh, tell me about Devon confronting the pilot of the.
Okay, so. After, you know, a couple days worth of Scooby Gang and shenaniganing, Dylan and Kevin and Devon managed to find out who the pilot was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Kevin going on the computer and looking in files that he had no business looking in and, you know, doing his usual thing. And he gave the name and phone number to Dylan, and Dylan called him and said, "Hey, meet me. I have a charter I want you to do, and I want it to be under the radar and not on the books." And the guy says, "Yeah, sure, meet me in Chancellor Park."
Yeah.
So, of course, they meet up, and before Dylan can get the pilot to admit, "Hey, yeah, I do this kind of thing all the time, and, you know, yes, I have seen this woman before, and I did fly her in," Devon comes barging in, saying, you know, "What'd you do with my wife? Where is she? Rah, 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 rah," yeah. smack, and starts pounding on the guy. And somehow or another, Kevin and Michael are watching this via remote in the coffee house.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And Michael is just like ticking off all of the, you know, "Oh, well, Devon just broke the law there by punching him. Oh, look, you broke this law by assaulting him. And, oh, no, he did it." You know, and it's just like, you guys are so useless. So the pilot goes away and says, "You know, screw you. I'm not going to tell you anything. I don't know anything about it, any woman. I never flew anybody anywhere. You got the wrong guy."
Yeah, okay.
So Devon basically totally screwed the pooch.
Well, the other thing that they kind of have left on the back burner for a while is that Nikki really suspected that Neil was up to something from the get-go, and
mm-hmm.
she asked Victor
yeah.
to look into it, so Victor did, and Victor pretty much verified that Neil faked a story that he went to Niagara Falls, and he confronted Neil, but then Neil made a deal with Victor that he wouldn't be friends with Nikki anymore if Victor just shut his mouth, and Victor was like, "Yep, because
mm-hmm.
I don't want you with Nikki," so
yeah.
so it's like at this point,
that's
they just have a deal worked out, and they haven't spoken about it since, but I feel like that will come out at some point.
Yeah.
If nothing else, to make Nikki mad at Victor.
Right, one more time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, things are going to come crashing down on O'Neill. I'm just surprised it hasn't happened yet.
I think it's going to get dragged on for a while.
No.
I see this as being a long-term pain in the neck.
Week.
Yeah, I'm done, but.
Okay. What should we talk about next?
Okay, so Michael and Lauren had coffee together, and Lauren was all flirty, and Michael fell for it, and now they've decided that they're going to date for real and that they're kind of sort of officially
cancer.
Back together.
And also, he signed on to General Hospital. I don't understand. Why is he still here?
Well, and suddenly he's okay, you know, being sexy with somebody? I thought that was his big reason why he was staying away from Lauren and divorcing her was because he couldn't get it up, and now he's,
I feel like,
you know, macking
really
on the middle of the
about
coffee
cancer.
Shop.
Like, did he even get treatment? I'm so confused. I thought he skipped
yeah,
his treatment.
They just decided his one treatment did it, and now he's doesn't have cancer anymore. You know, or maybe they're having him go out in a big bang in November when sweeps are.
Okay, like he and Lauren finally get back together
His
and he.
prostate explode, you
Yeah.
know, and
Okay.
he'll die.
He falls off a cliff. We hear him
Right, yes.
go,
Into a volcano.
no. Okay, well, all right, so they're back together for now. All right. That's good. Should we talk about. Let's talk about Marissa. Because I feel like a lot, she's been getting a
So
lot of screen
apparently,
time.
yeah, but she, you know, the only thing that's interesting is that she was married to that other guy, and Noah doesn't like it, and she was keeping secrets from Noah, and Noah's, you know, got his panties in a bunch about it, and to the point that he, for real, we're breaking up, and I don't want to be with you anymore because you, all you do is lie to me. And she's just
I
like,
guess.
if you would shut up for 2 seconds, I could tell you what I've been keeping from you. But
Well,
it's,
I like
okay, you're talking again. All right.
they have okay, so this new guy, Luca, he comes on the scene and I think he's here to stay for a while. Because he is going around sort of suggesting he's looking for his wife, who we all know is Marissa. But he just keeps saying, I'm looking for my wife. And
Yeah, me
she's
too.
like, yes, I might be able to put you in touch with her.
Right.
It's all very cryptic. And meanwhile, I don't remember what Luca's last name is, but at some point Victor goes, oh, from the Spanish family? I'm familiar with them. And he kind of talks to Luca a little bit. And so I feel like I might have read in Soap Opera Digest that there's the potential for more of Luca's family to enter the fray. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, and I just think it's funny that, you know, because he's from Spain
He's Spanish,
and,
Will.
you know, and Victor is from Europe, and so they're all European
Oh.
together, and everyone in Europe knows each other,
I
clearly,
was
so.
just thinking all the 1% knew each other.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's more likely.
But I really, like, I was dying of laughter when Luca first came in and he goes to the underground and Marissa and Noah are both in there working and they're always kind of schmoopy and Luca comes in and she kind of freezes and Luca's saying, well, I'm looking for my wife. What can you tell me? Have you seen her? And Marissa's like, I might be able to give you a phone number. And she writes down on a piece of paper, like, meet me at the park in 20 minutes. And then they go meet in the park, and she's like, you gotta get out of here. And he's like, don't tell me you don't still love me. And he's like, you know you're hot for me. And she's like, no, I love Noah. Anyway, Luca comes back to the underground when Marissa isn't there and Noah's there. And I love how Luca, he's like, friend. Tell me what you know about Marissa. And Noah's like, did you ever find your wife? And Luca's like, I think she's a little dissatisfied and she might be looking for me. And Noah's like, she's not dissatisfied. She's with a new man. And like, they're just talking about her as if she's like this other person. And it's like this weird cock sparring that's happening. And,
God.
Man, Marissa really stirs it up in dudes, though. This is like the
I
third
guess.
guy in 3 weeks.
Well, and that was one thing that she and Lucas were having a conversation and saying, you know, he was saying, you know, I'm sorry my family was so mean to you. And, you know, and she was just like, they treated me like dirt. They thought I was, you know, just because I was poor, I was nothing. So, you know, that's why I left you. And he's like, yeah, but you left me for Marco. Come on.
Yeah.
It's just like,
Which
yeah.
I'm totally with Luca on that one. Like, what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now she's with another rich guy with a rich family who's telling her to get out of the way and, you know,
Yes.
she doesn't learn.
Who do you think Marissa should be with?
Devon.
What? I didn't see that
No,
one
I just
coming.
don't want Noah to be with anyone because he's turning into a really, really awful character.
How
And he's
so?
Well, he's turned into this total, you know, kind of a dick and a sap, and he used to be like the voice of reason, and now he's just like everybody else.
Yeah, he is losing his logical piece. I still like him. I'd actually say he's probably one of my favorite characters, maybe for the fact that he has historically been a reasonable person.
Right, yeah, and now they're writing him just as dumb as all the rest of them, and I think that's a shame.
I think he has great hair, too, so that, like, falls in his favor.
I was just about to say that. He does have really good hair, and he's well-styled. He looks like he would actually wear those clothes.
Yeah, he does. I don't know. I still like him, and in some weird way, I think, like, he and Marissa are a good match from my side, but I can also see this not having longevity.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not a 30-years couple.
I mean, Marissa is interesting to me because she's not the typical, like, Abby, you know, the blonde girl who comes into town. Like, she's different, and she has a different story that's not, like, from a Jubeau or a Newman aspect. Mm-hmm. And so I'm willing to hear it out more. And also, it seems like, you know, she's got a bit of a dark past somewhere in there, and, you know, we're kind of unraveling it. So it's just more interesting to me.
Yeah. I like her because she's, you know, even though she's often this damsel in distress situations, I do feel like if she needed to, she could get out of it on her own.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, she can hotwire a bomb,
up a boat with the best of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I think that's the thing that almost kind of irritates me sometimes. She is kind of a damsel in distress when we've seen her be really strong. And so it's kind of obnoxious to me. Like, why are you playing this annoying, like, help me character? But I guess that's kind of how she came into Noah's life, is that he literally did sort of rescue her off the street. So, okay, you know, if that's their story.
Yeah.
I guess women's liberation will just have to come with another narrative.
That's right.
So Marissa and Noah broke up on Friday?
Yeah, he dumped her. He's like, I'm done. But I can't stand it anymore.
Or are they going to, like, make up on Monday?
I'm sure they'll make up on Monday or Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, Luca definitely comes in and he causes some strife between them, but I feel like there's some sort of love triangle going on. I almost felt like there was a little sexual tension between Luca and Noah, so...
Ooh, well, there we go.
Yeah, maybe there's a little something there.
Mm-hmm, okay. I doubt it, but, you know, I
doubt
it.
I doubt it, too, but, yeah. Okay,
Can we talk about Sage?
Yeah.
Okay, so Sage...
is whiny.
Was feeling sick again. And complaining, and people were kind of telling her, you know, you're having all these nightmares, and you're afraid the baby's going to get stolen, and you really need to just relax and take a chill pill. And she's like, no, really, you know, this is a legitimate fear, and how dare you?
Yeah.
So she's at home having bed rest, and while there's business stuff going on, and Nick is gone, and Victor sees the lights on and comes over just to check on her to see how everything's going, and she freaks out.
Because she's been having nightmares about Victor stealing the baby.
Right. Yeah, and clearly she can't tell the difference between being awake and asleep, because she's like on the ground groveling away from him and, you know, doing this whole thing, and he's standing there going, what is wrong with you? Well, I'm showing concern for my grandchild, and you're acting like I'm coming at you with a knife.
like he's like, Jesus.
Clearly I'm not. So he realizes that something's really wrong, and she might have fainted or, you know, something that missed.
I feel like she faints every other day.
Yeah, but he takes her to the hospital, and he says, you know, look, you're going. And they get her all situated, and he says... Stitch comes in and does tests and comes back with the test results and lets her know that, no, it's not all in her mind. She's not just crazy, but that she has Giardia. And that's why she's been having these physical symptoms.
Are those physical symptoms like a lot of diarrhea?
Yes. And throwing up.
Okay.
you know, which can also happen during pregnancies, so.
Okay.
But, yeah, so basically they're kind of just writing it off saying, okay, you have this super obscure thing that usually calls for a boil water order
in many
communities. You know, but she's the only one who got it.
Yeah, okay, so if I mean, like, I know that comes typically from drinking, like, bad water, but what were some of the other reasons? How could she have contracted it?
Well, that's the thing. I'm trying to remember, because it was a list of four or five things, and it was hilarious. It was like, well, you've been drinking from a stream. You know, maybe you ate something that was washed with bad water, or, you know, kind of this loose thread of, you know, sure.
That's such a weird thing for them to write in. It's so random.
Yeah. Well, and you wonder, though, they're having so many water issues in L.A. right now with floods and droughts
and everything else
that maybe the writers are just more aware of water safety concerns.
Okay. I guess I feel like Wisconsin is a place where you can probably get an abundance of clean water, or am I wrong?
I don't think it's any cleaner or any dirtier than anywhere else. I mean, you know.
All right. Okay.
So, yeah. So now we know what's wrong with her. She'll get the treatment, and she's supposed to be just fine.
But we know that her baby is still going to get stolen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, okay, so now can we talk about Sharon?
Yeah, we might as well. That's a good segue.
Yeah, so Sharon's in Fairview Havenville.
Yeah, we were a little wrong on our last podcast. Sharon definitely wanted to get into Fairhaven because mm-hmm. it would keep her... basically from, like, the reveal that she's not actually pregnant.
Right. Although anyone looking at her can see that she is not pregnant.
Duh.
I mean, I'm sorry, but you could be, you know, 3 days pregnant and have more physical symptoms than she's got.
I don't know. I guess the point is she's crazy, and so I'm questioning...
And so everyone else around her. I mean, you know,
yeah.
You look more pregnant than...
Oh, yeah, she doesn't, I mean, like, Sage looks pregnant and more pregnant every week, and mm-hmm. Sharon looks exactly the same as Sharon always looks.
Yeah, fit and trim and smooth-bellied, and it's like, no.
Yeah. She's not even wearing a pillow, you know, she's, like, not even, like, faking it.
Yeah, she's not even trying.
So, like, yeah, come on, Sharon. Anyway, okay, so she basically decides to commit herself to Fairhaven under the guise that she wants to make sure she and the baby are incredibly healthy and that her mental health state is being cared for in its, like, the utmost capacity, but really it's so that Dylan doesn't realize she's not pregnant. It's like buying her some time, right?
Right, yeah.
I think buying her time to steal a baby, but I'm not sure what Sharon seems to think.
Well, like, where she's going to get this baby.
Yeah, like, what is her plan?
I think Sharon still thinks that she's going to be able to get knocked up.
In Fairhaven?
In Fairhaven, yeah. But I don't know how that would be, since the only other patients there appear to be...
Female. And
one of whom is our super good friend, Patty.
Yeah, so Patty's back, which is pretty cool.
Super awesome. I love Patty.
I feel like I read the YNR comings and goings, you know, probably every couple weeks, and I never saw anything about Patty returning.
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Which is great.
It took me half a second to go, oh, wait, that's Patty.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Well, and Patty and Sharon have been having some conversations.
Yeah.
And Patty had heard Sharon talking to Faith about the baby and how the reason she's in the hospital in Fairhaven is because she wants to take the best care of the baby she can.
Yeah.
And
hey, quick question here. I believe that Fairhaven is where, when Sharon was pregnant with Faith, that Faith got stolen?
I think so. Isn't that the same place?
So I'm just throwing it out there that if you had a baby that was stolen, would you return to the place that it happened when you were pregnant again?
Totally yes, because it has, you know that there is the potential to steal a baby there.
Well, I mean, if you were really
before,
pregnant.
Before, so why not again?
Don't you think Nick would be like, wait, that place has a lot of bad memories. Remember Faith got stolen there? Do you really want to go pregnant there? You know what I mean? Like, you'd think other people would say, like, red flag, red flag. Okay, that's
fine. No, because Nick is so self-absorbed, he's probably not even aware that Sharon's in the hospital, let alone where.
Yeah, I feel like he kind of heard about it, and he raised an eyebrow and thought, okay, that's a little strange.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not worth acting on.
But so Patty and Sharon are not friends. They are definitely, Patty is Cramp and Sharon style.
Well, you know, Patty just is so happy to see someone familiar that she's totally glomming on.
Totally.
And Sharon's just like, no, I don't want to do crafts with you, and leave me alone. And at some point,
and
Patty,
then meanwhile,
said
Patty comes
about
out with like
cat.
A BFF necklace. It's like macrame.
No, said something about her cat, and was like, and Sharon's like, they let you have a cat? And she's like, well, it's just a stuffed cat, but you know, it's better than nothing. And I was like,
oh
my
god,
my
is
god.
It Mr. Kitty?
Yeah, she's still super nuts.
Oh, girl.
But
oh.
She knows.
Good.
She knows that Sharon. I think she knows that Sharon is not pregnant because she overheard something, and. So she was talking to Sharon saying, you know, oh, isn't it awful when I lost my baby, wink, wink.
Yeah.
I think that was the start of my mental problems. Kind of like you, huh? Don't you think, huh? You got more in common with me than you think, Miss Sharon. So basically, I love Patty and I want her never to leave.
Well, okay. I thought the last we'd seen of Patty, I mean, it's been 2 or 3 years, right? But she was on the lam. She'd escaped.
No, she got caught, and she was put into a high maximum security mental health facility.
Oh.
And she, because she talked about this.
Okay.
And because Sharon was like, how the hell are you here? And she said, oh, Paul managed, because I've had such good behavior, Paul managed to get me out of that other place, which was no fun, and now I'm here. And now you're here, and we're just going to be besties.
Yeah, okay. Well, I almost wonder if maybe Sharon were smart, she would befriend Patty, and Patty could help her steal the baby.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I think at some point, you know, Patty is definitely going to be the helper.
Okay.
And say, no, Sharon, that's not how you steal a baby. This is how you steal a baby. And she'll pull out the charts and graphs and things that she already has. And all that stuff.
Yeah, I am thrilled that Patty is back. I like, for all the other crappy storylines that may be happening, Patty being back is definitely a keeper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Cool. I hate to say it, but should we talk about, like, the Paragon Project and all of that?
Yes, but first I want to say one thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Summer had a conversation with Faith on Friday, and they were in the coffee shop, and she was, Summer was trying to help Faith kind of get over that everyone's being weird about the babies and all this, and she said, you know, Summer, I've been talking to Abby, and we've decided to hand down the title of Supergirl to you. You know, it used to be my nickname, and now it's your nickname.
Okay.
And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, every other commercial that they show during streaming Y&R is for CBS's new show, Supergirl.
Oh, you're so
coincidence
right.
Or not?
I don't know.
So I'll bet you $100,000,000 that this year for Halloween, Faith is going to be some kind of Supergirl costume character.
Man, I think you definitely have a psychic vision on that one. Yeah.
Well, I don't think it takes a psychic to figure that one out, but
Yeah, that's a good point. Huh. Okay.
All right, moving on to Paragon.
Still
don't care.
Well, I don't care, but I think we talked about last time that we officially know that Ian Ward is on the back end of Paragon Project with Adam. they right. teamed up. Yes. And I'm not quite clear on how Ian and Adam made that partnership.
Or how they even know each other, but okay, whatever, I'm willing to let it go.
Yeah, and I was almost unsure if Adam realized how devious Ian was. Does he know?
I don't think he knows.
He wasn't in town.
I think he knows he's a bad guy, but not that he is pure evil.
Okay. Well, so either way, I don't know, they installed some sort of horrible virus into Victor's computer, right? And then, right. meanwhile, Ian Ward has been living in an RV out in the woods, sort of next to the Abbott cabin.
Right.
And we talked about Phyllis and Jack being out there, but the Jack couldn't seem to, like, put the cell phone down, couldn't stop talking about business, and he went back into town, and so Phyllis was out at the cabin alone, just trying to get some time to herself. So she goes, like, berry picking, or I don't know, she was out on a trail walk and ran into
Ian. Looking for Hiller.
Yeah. So Ian goes out there, Ian is out there and appears to be an unassuming widower and befriends her.
Fred.
Yeah, Fred, that's right. And I thought, for as sharp and skeptical as Phyllis is, she really bought into his whole, like, woe is me, I'm just trying to live a life without my wife, you know. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he's in his fishing vest, and he just acts like he's, you know, he kind of, like, portrays a Murphy character.
Well, that's kind of who I think he's channeling.
Okay, yeah.
Is Murphy.
And he gave Phyllis sort of like a little astrology lesson. No, astronomy. Real stars. Not like signs. He's like talking about the stars and how he sees his wife in the stars. And I don't know, like, Phyllis just really went for it. And they've been kind of hanging out. And she invited him over to dinner. She kept telling Jack, oh, I met this great guy. His name's Fred. And we've been hanging out. And look at, he made me these pickles, you know, and all sorts of stuff. And Jack is pretty skeptical. And he's like, this guy, he could be part of the Paragon Project, which sounds totally ridiculous. But we all know it's true. And so Ian, of course, doesn't show up for dinner. He's got a lame excuse. Yeah. And then when Adam figures out that it is Ian who's sort of befriending Phyllis, Adam's like, red flag, red flag. He even goes to Jack and says, dude, watch out. That guy could be part of the Paragon Project. You don't want Phyllis hanging out with this guy. Because they think he's getting a taste of how creepy Ian is. And did you see when Ian was on his computer? Like, it was like nighttime. He's on his laptop and he was, I don't know, working some sort of Paragon Project madness, and he was playing like classical music in the background.
Right.
And I loved that scene because he was so like evil genius, where it was like he was like singing along with the music and making, I don't know, he was like, it's hilarious. He's all backlit and creepy and
yeah.
But then he split town. Well, or no, he didn't split town. He left the RV.
He left the RV and went to go live in Adam's old condo.
Yeah. So he's across the hall in what used to be Adam and Sage's apartment, right? Since Adam moved back to Chelsea?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's creeping Adam out.
Yeah. And so one of the things that Ian Ward did with the Paragon virus was he made it look like Victor was putting Lancelot Shipping, one of their most profitable divisions, up for sale.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as he did this, there was like a ping on the computer, and Nick and Victoria are watching the computer going, wait a minute, why does this look like this subsidiaries for sale? That's not right. That must be that awful virus. And before they can stop it, the Jabot buys it.
Uh-huh.
So while they're trying to stop it, then they cut to Ashley and Billy, and who's trying to say, well, wait a minute, why is this happening? You know, we didn't, this is ridiculous. Victor would never sell this. And Billy's like, shut up, just buy it. And he kind of leans over to the computer and clicks on buy himself.
Okay.
And so as soon as it's bought, then he and Ashley have this big fight about, well, you know, we should have done due diligence and we don't know what's going on here. And Billy's like, who cares? We just got this great company. And Victor would have done the same to us.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, Victoria comes rushing in saying, hey, Billy, did you steal my password? That company's not really for sale. And it's like, no, I didn't, you bitch. And so they have a little fight. And
okay.
So finally Jack shows up and he's basically got the entire board in tow with him to say, okay, we're having an impromptu board meeting and we're going to vote right now about whether or not to give this company back to Victor the way we should, or if we're going to just keep it.
How completely diplomatic of Jack.
Yeah, so Jack is leading the we need to give it back parade.
It's almost like he's in a way turned over a new leaf, at least for the moment.
That's what he was trying to say, was that, you know, this is a really crappy way to do business, and our father would never have sunk to this level, and blah-de-blah-de-blah.
Okay.
And some of the board members vote with them, and some of the board members vote against them, and the deciding vote comes down to Tracy's vote.
Oh, and was she back?
And they didn't want to pay her to come and be on the show, so they had, Lauren had her proxy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she said, no, I'm voting to keep this company.
Oh.
You know, I think you guys should keep and screw Victor.
Okay.
So they're keeping it, and Victor is trying to say, well, you can't keep it. It wasn't really for sale. And all of the Abbotts are saying, yeah.
So Ian's sort of puppeteering. It's not even like it's this hugely maniacal thing. It's more like he's just kind of messing with them to cause...
Yes.
Strife in
just
the
to cause grief and chaos. Yeah. And, you know, he even used the word chaos and was like sitting back and chortling. Yeah. And
I think that's kind of the point, though, is that because all of the people at Jabot and Newman are so ridiculously impulsive and dramatic that you don't need some like highly complex plan to bring the company down.
No.
You could just deliver 10 pizzas to Victor's office in the name of Jack, and that'll blow everything up for a couple weeks.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, and it was funny, though, because Billy and Victor got into this argument, and once Victor found out that Billy was the one who had actually done the buying, and Billy said something like, okay, you go home, and you write down all the complaints you have about me, Victor, and... You know, because there's got to be at least a ton.
Uh-huh.
And then you put it in, you know, a big box, and then you ship it. Oh, wait, you don't have a shipping company anymore. Are you? It's like, oh, my God.
It's so stupid.
It was so petty and immature and funny.
Okay. Well, and Victoria and Billy, it seemed like they were kind of getting back together.
They're back together. Yeah, they're
but
back
are they
on
really
kissing.
Now?
You know, they're trying this whole
open relationship,
you know,
thing.
Yeah, kind of, you know, we do kind of love each other, so let's see where that takes us, kind of thing.
Huh.
And when Victor was giving Victoria a hard time about it, she's just like, he's the father of my children. Shut up. Leave me alone.
And Victor says, but I have many mothers of my children.
Right, and I'm not friends with any of them. It's not the new thing.
Well, and also I feel like a lot of the buzz between Jabot and Newman is this whole thing that Abby came up with Chelsea 2.0.
Right, yeah.
I'm confused. Was Chelsea's fashion line failing? Was there a problem?
Not that I was aware of.
I thought it was a strong company,
but that they wanted to reboot it so that it would really take off.
Okay.
And that's where Chelsea 2.0 came in.
Okay, yeah. Abby came in one day and she's like, hey, by the way, I have this great idea. We're going to rename your company Chelsea 2.0. And by the way, I've already sold 10,000 of your latest blah, blah, blah. I think the problem that I had with the Chelsea 2.0 piece is that Abby acted like it was this amazing marketing strategy. They just kept talking about her marketing strategy.
Right. How is that a marketing strategy?
Yeah, I was really unclear on any of the details, and Victoria was really grilling her about it, and I thought, yeah, Victoria's right. There is no strategy. She just went out and pitched a bunch of stuff without any sort of backup, but Abby's making it out like she's some sort of marketing genius, and Victor keeps supporting Abby and pitting Abby and Victoria against each other. What is the point? I don't understand.
That part I haven't been able to figure out. You know, I think he wants Abby to succeed.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of trying to, you know, pump her up and get her excited about work and, you know, telling her she's doing a great job and, you know, just really overdoing it when she didn't really do anything.
No. She walks around with, like, her power suit on. And is always talking about how she needs to, like, check the numbers, but I don't understand what she's actually doing.
Right. I don't get the feeling that she understands what she's doing, that she just has a clipboard.
Oh my gosh, it's a genius idea. I'm going to start doing that at work. I'm going to wear my power suit and keep telling people I need to go crunch the numbers. I'm going to carry a clipboard. Yeah. I'm certain that will springboard me to success.
Yeah, talk about data. use the word data and analysis a lot.
You know, in education, that actually will go quite far.
no kidding. You don't have to actually do anything. You just have to talk about the things you're doing.
Yeah.
So I feel like kind of that's what Abby is doing. It's like she's like, oh, this is what executives look like they're doing.
Hi guys, it's Lindsay again. Amanda's Skype cut out, and we were pretty darn close to the end of the podcast anyway, so I'm gonna wrap it up. In case you were wondering, Abby and Stitch did break up. Woohoo! Other than that, I don't think that there was anything that we didn't cover. So we'll catch you next time. Don't forget to go to the blog, at yrupdates.blogspot.com, or more likely go to Facebook and find us, The Young and the Restless Recap. And one thing we wanted to mention was that for the next podcast, it is our 75th podcast, and we also will hit 100,000 downloads, which for us is like pretty amazing since we can't believe we've actually made it this long. So make sure and tune in because we are going to have a very special contest for that one. Okay, see you next time.